Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back to the Nerdcore podcast, a podcast that reviews the movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 482, and we are back again for another review as we conclude our month looking at films directed by women. And today we are looking at Mudbound. But as always, this is the Nerd Chicano here to host the show alongside my wonderful co-host, Young Yoda.
Mudbutt.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday indeed. Hope everyone's having a good day.
Thank you, Aiden.
What did you say?
Proud to present. Hi, Kylie. Thank you, too.
Oh, no. Fellas. Nice guy.
Hey, oh,
But yes, happy Monday to everybody. Hope everyone's having a wonderful day. Whenever you're listening to this, whether it's live or you're watching it on video days later, or you're listening to it on a podcast replay days later. Either way, I hope you're having a good time whenever this finds you. And before we get into all of it, you already know what I got to do here. Brad, what's up? How you doing?
Doing okay. How you doing, Raul?
I'm doing all right, too. Writing day. Wrote the next piece, and then I filmed a video, and then after this is done, I got to edit that video. So, yeah, it's been a long content day.
Productive day.
Yeah.
I just went to work.
Yeah. I watched half of Mudbound yesterday and watched half of it today, so.
I actually managed to finish it yesterday.
Yeah, I finished like right as when I took my meds. So I'm like, I'm not going to be able to give this the proper attention it deserves after my meds kick in. So I'm like, I'm just going to leave half of it done. And I'm like, okay, I have like less than an hour now. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll watch the rest tomorrow.
It's a great day at work when no one dies.
Yeah.
That's what we strive for at the end of the day. Everyone goes home.
Exactly. But I've just been writing a bunch today and, Wrote a good amount for my next piece, and then I filmed it. I need to edit now, but
by the way, I know that was out of context, but I was talking about Kylie's.
Yeah, good day at work. No one. Yeah. That's good. That is very good. It is very good. But thank you, Kylie. We're gonna be concluding the month today, and then we're gonna go ahead and look at what we're gonna do next week. And I'm excited. What's called new night and end of the month, and. We didn't end up backed up. We finished the whole theme this month, and that's good.
We can do it.
When external forces don't work against us, bro.
Exactly. We can.
Yeah. I'm happy for us. I'm happy for us. Bro. But apparently Darla wants to have some form of say in this too.
Darla right now and Dixie are currently playing.
Yeah.
By playing, I mean beating the shit out of each other.
Tomorrow we do watch Moonfall. Woohoo. Ooh. Yes, tomorrow we watch Moonfall. And I'm excited for that too.
Sure you are. We're excited.
We're very excited.
We're very excited.
Yeah. But nothing else really to relay in information here, my friends. And I don't think that I should be stalling because I think we can definitely hit a 25-minute conversation on this. Because, I think we can be able to squeeze out a good conversation out of this. So without further ado, if you have never seen Mudbound or if you care about spoilers or you don't care, either way, I'm giving you all a spoiler warning because we're going to be talking full spoilers. So if you care about all that stuff, this is your one and only spoiler warning. It is in effect in a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, Brad. Introduce us to Mudbound, which definitely has more than one sentence, right?
Indeed. For once. Mudbound, coming from our one and only source, Wikipedia. Mudbound is a 2017 American historical drama film directed by Dee Rees. It was written by Rees and Virgil Williams, who based their screenplay on the 2008 novel Mudbound by Hilary Jordan. It stars Carey Mulligan, Garrett Hedlund, Jason Clarke, Jason Mitchell, Jonathan Banks, Rob Morgan, and Mary J. Blige. The film depicts two World War II veterans, one white, one black, who return to rural Mississippi, each to address racism and PTSD in his own way. The film premiered at the 2017 Sundance Film Festival on January 21st, 2017, and was released on Netflix and in limited release on November 17th, 2017. Critics praised the screenplay and direction and the cast performances at the 75th Golden Globe Awards that received nominations for Best Supporting Actress by Blige and Best Original Song, Mighty River. At the 90th Academy Awards, the film earned four nominations: Best Supporting Actress and Best Original Song for Blige, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Cinematography, the latter of which made Rachel Morrison the first woman ever nominated in the category. Rees became the first black woman to ever be nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay. Blige became the first person to ever be nominated for both an acting Oscar as well as a song Oscar during the same year. And what we got is cinematography by Rachel Morrison, edited by Mako Kametsuna, music by Tamar Kali. Budget was $10 million, box office $117,344, but of course this was a Netflix original. So they probably only released in like, what, three or four theaters in order to get it on the circuit?
Pretty much to get it. Because remember back then?
It was they had called to release in theaters.
Yeah. So for it to be, considered for Oscar consideration, you had to put it in the theaters for 90 days. So,
which is why Netflix bought like four or five theaters just to do that.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, they changed it once the pandemic hit, and they haven't changed it back ever since. So, honestly,
Netflix just owns four theaters now.
Yeah, show them in those four theaters, pretty much.
Whatever.
Yeah. What's it called? Though I do have to bring this up. Brad didn't have court. Brad was going to be in jury duty. There's a big difference between going to court and having jury duty.
It's true. And it would have been really fun if I had jury duty and got sick at the same time, because I don't know how I would have got through that.
No. Your Honor. No, I don't have an objection. I just really need to go to the restroom. Right now. Oh, man. But,
he's guilty.
Brad, this is your pick, so we'll go first with you for initial thoughts. What did you think about Dee Rees' Mudbound?
My initial thought is, why does Garrett Hedlund look like Val Kilmer from Tombstone's Doc Holliday? Like, what the fuck? Like, doppelganger. Like literally, like, my attention span just kept looking at this guy going, why does this guy look like Doc Holliday? It's true. You watch the movie, the dude looks like Doc Holliday. I think the runtime on this was too long. I think, what was it, 2 hours, 15 minutes? I think you could cut that down, personally. I would have killed off Pappy way, way, way sooner in the film because that dude was a douche.
Yeah, major.
The acting was superb, like everyone throughout all of this. I don't understand the point of the wife having sex with the brother. It was just like it was thrown in there to me. Yeah. And it never like we didn't really get like the brother went off to Los Angeles and that was it. Like you don't hear anything on the older brother or his wife, or do they just stay in Mississippi and fucking, you know, live on the dirt? I don't know.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this movie, though. Like, I enjoyed this better than the previous film we watched, Dee Rees. And I do think she grew as a director very much. But superb performances, especially from Mary J. Blige. Basically all of them. All the acting was great.
Yeah. So I think that this film is far more superior over Pariah. I think that, Yes, I think this film could be edited down, but I think in 2 hours and 14 minutes of a movie, D. Reese is able to make a more compelling film than what she could do with an hour and 20 some with Pariah. And I feel like that even goes more to show, like, if you give her a little bit more time and give her more resources to actually flesh things out a little more, I think she's able to make a great film. And I was going to say, I think that, like, I don't even know where with that criticism that you bring up about, you know, like, things just getting, like, brought up. And I'm like, I don't know if that's like a, if that's source material because of the book, or whether, you know, that was just adaptation.
It felt left. It just felt like it was thrown in there. Yeah. And then no loose ends were tied up. It just kind of left like, oh, she fucked the brother. And what? Like, nothing occurred of that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that this film is pretty damn good. I would just say, like, look, Jan, you damn well what you were doing when you put that wig on Carrie Mulligan. I'm sorry, that wig did not look good on Carrie Mulligan. Like, her bangs looked so odd on her.
Yeah. I mean, but this is what, 1940s Mississippi? Like,
yeah.
Fashion wasn't a thing in 1940s Mississippi. Let's be real here.
Yeah. But I love the way that this film kind of brings up, you know, PTSD, and especially the way the racism is kind of addressed here. Cause, you know, like, you really start realizing, like, huh, sharecropping was kind of a paid version of slavery, huh?
Yeah, like, and it didn't matter if they had deeds to the land or not, because they, and like, people ended up stealing their land anyway.
Yeah.
I got to put it up for Rob Morgan. Terrific actor.
Yeah.
Throughout this, like, he really, like, some parts of the film, I feel like he carried, just because you get this instance of, you know, this man probably lived through slavery, like, or close to, like, he probably was one generation away from slavery. And he kind of, like, you get this contrast between him and his son who went off to war, and this contrast of a man who's trying to make nice because he's seen, you know, just how volatile and how violent, you know, these white people in 1940s Mississippi could be. Yeah. And the son who thinks, you know, he deserves more for going off to war and fighting for his country. And so he's less likely to back down. And unfortunately he receives that violence from freaking Pappy, who should have, like, been killed off way, way sooner, in my opinion, just because that dude was a jackass.
Yeah. But I mean, like, also, you know, Jason Mitchell is just fantastic in this as well. Garrett Hedlund, who, you know, I've loved Garrett Hedlund. Like, you know, he's been great in, like, Troy.
Did he not fucking look like Doc Holliday to you?
Yeah. But I mean, like, he's so good in, like, Inside Llewyn Davis as well, and, like, you know, Friday Night Lights. He's a great actor, and he just does such a great job here. And I love how, like, Dee Reese kind of contrasts, like, both of Jason Mitchell's and Garrett Hedlund's characters, like, PTSD, and how, like, you know, even
they
though
kind of form a bond throughout that film, which is really cool. I do think Jason Clark, the older brother, Henry, he brings this perspective of he's stuck. That's basically, he's stuck in the mud because he's stuck in between a world where he was raised up to, you know, see African-Americans as lesser than him, but also he's trying to get help from them. So he's literally, like, you know, he's kind of a bastard also, but I don't know. I just love how just the light is shown on this racism throughout this film, and just the different perspectives you get.
Yeah. And also just Jason Clark is so good at portraying this character. And also just Jason Clark is a wonderful actor. And not everybody, you know, gives Jason Clark his, like, his dues, because he truly does, you know, he won't turn you in, like, the greatest performance of all time. But in this film, he turns you
really
in a pretty damn good performance.
Yeah.
And I think that everybody here, performances all around, are just doing a wonderful job. And hell, even Mary J. Blige, man. Mary J. Blige does a great job as the mom.
Yeah. Like, I didn't realize I was Mary J. Blige until I read it.
Yeah. Well, it's because we're so used to seeing Mary J. Blige with,
yeah,
with the blonde hair.
Like the blonde hair and like fur coat, or, you know, all glamored up and stuff. Like,
yeah.
So I didn't even realize that was Mary J. Blige.
Yeah, but I love to see Mary J. Blige in this. Rachel Morrison's cinematography, you know, it's not the craziest looking, like the greatest looking, but it is very precise and it's very, very detailed to that era.
I feel like this is called Mudbound, and you could see like all the dirt and everything in this film.
Yeah, Rachel Morrison is nowhere near being scared to dirty up the frame, you know, because it looks so accurate to the air. And of course, Brandon, somebody who has lived in Mississippi, you probably know, like, yeah, that's kind of how Mississippi looks.
Parts of it, like northern Mississippi, yeah. I mean, it's just mud, honestly. Mud. A lot of it, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Louisiana, same thing. Like, it's about that dirty.
yeah. And I just, of course, you know, what's it called? Congrats to Jason Mitchell. What's it called? Jonathan Banks, who portrays, what's it called, Pap. Every minute of him.
I just wanted to end him.
Yeah. But and I think that's what Dee Rees does so well here, reminding us that these old heads, even though they are like literally on their dying breath, they still have so much power in this time. And it's why, you know, time hasn't been able to progress as well in that era, because...
So what you're saying is we need to take a pillow to all the old people.
Well, yeah, I did find that moment so badass though, when he's like, you know, constantly.
Hey, I'm waking you. Yeah, I'm waking you up so we can.
So I can look you in the eye, like.
Yeah, like wow. You said, motherfucker.
Yeah, but that's what I'm telling you, man. What's it called? There, he does a great job, but like, God, that scene was and I love how like after that is when, you know, Jamie's like, I couldn't help him, like. There was way too many, and he's just kind of like all broken up because of that. And
well, and he was the one that had to tell them like what act of violence to do on him.
Yeah.
And he honestly, I would have chose the tongue too if I was forced. Because I mean, any choice was a bad choice.
Yeah. Yeah. But what's it called? I think the ending was just beautiful to end it like him going back and talking about, like, you know, like, I'm going back, you know, now to Germany, and I'm not going back to fight another war. And because, I mean, once again, Dee Rees brings up something that a lot of us, you know, a lot of people, especially communities of color, have had to bear the forefront of here in World War II. Because, like, you know, they go over there. What's it called? They sacrifice their lives and they give their lives for the country. They come back and they're still treated like crap. You know, what's it called? It was not similar, but there was something that was quite a bit similar to what's it called? What the Latino community was going through, where they sent them over there and they're like, oh, what's it called? If you go fight, you know, and if you're not a full citizen, you will go ahead and come back to getting citizenship. And they come back and guess what? They don't become citizenship. They don't get their citizenship. And also, what's it called? Their land now that they left is what's it called? Taken over by Anglos. And it's just,
I mean, that's the American government. Over and over, doing the same shit.
Yeah,
through the history, through the very beginning.
Yeah, and also shit. You know, Dee Rees once again brings up the what's called, what, like Spike Lee brings up in The Five Bloods. You know, when they're over there, they're like, you know, these, what's it called, we're here in this country, and they don't, what's it called, they don't view us as less than, like, you know. But the minute these soldiers, these white soldiers from America, start telling them about us, that's when they start acting up and saying all these things. It's like, you know, Jason Mitchell's character brings up that that they were telling him how, like, oh, the black soldiers are more monkey than human. And then what's it called? That's why, what's it called? That girl slaps him in the butt. And it's like, you know, none of them know these things, and they don't actually believe in the things that the, what's it called, American soldiers are coming and teaching them. But what's it called? They're being taught by them. And yeah, it goes to show again, like, not every country is similar to America, especially at this time. It's like, you know, it's not similar to the way that America views what's it called, communities of color.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stacy says, don't forget Tron Legacy. Having to act against whatever Disney CGI had done to Jeff Bridges to look took a lot of talent. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's in Tron Legacy as well. But Yeah, I think that just there's so much precision and so much patience in here. I do wish that, you know, the pacing was a bit better because that first half is really clunky. It's also edited really jarring. It's like the editing is so jarring.
That was the pacing in this is just in some areas it's slow.
Yeah.
It's not like Pariah slow though. It's not Pariah slow. Like D-Reese has demonstrated like they have gotten so much progressively better through the years. But yeah, it's just that and not tying up some of these loose ends, which you might be right. It might be the way the book is.
Source material, yeah.
Which you know, it just leaves me wondering, okay, why did the wife have the sex with the brother if the brother's just going to go ahead and just fuck off anyway? I mean, it doesn't let you know what happens to Henry and his family, which not as important, but at the same time, like it leaves some loose ends that wouldn't have minded being like, okay, yeah, she went with him to Los Angeles, or like they never spoke of it again.
Yeah. Well, either way, what's it called? I think we could say that this was a massive improvement, and there's a lot of promise in here, and there's a lot of stuff that like she does really good. There's some stuff that you know needs improvement, and you know it's what's it called? Not as good as you would think. But when, a vast improvement.
Can we say that that prayer at the end by Rob Morgan was the biggest fuck you?
Oh yeah. That verse was the biggest fuck you, and I love Rob Morgan in this film. I really do think that Rob Morgan deserved better. What's it called in that?
He should have got year. He should have got like best supporting actor or something.
Best supporting actor, yeah. Because just when Jason Mitchell comes back and everybody's like saying hi and bringing all these things up, and he's just like, you know, let him come and say hi, what's it called? Come and say hi to his father, and just Rob Morgan breaks down. And I'm like, fuck, you're doing a great job here. Like, such a good job.
Well, and just moments throughout this film is just Rob Morgan's performance and just some of his dialogue, like when he breaks his leg and his wife is having to do the work, and you just can tell he feels just like so useless. He just feels so useless, and he tries to get back on his leg. He breaks it fucking again. And it's just like, ah.
Yeah. But, oh God, I think that just Rob Morgan is really one of the biggest standouts in this movie. He's so good in this movie. And, Brad, what are you going to go ahead and give Mudbound?
I think I'm going to go ahead and give Mudbound a solid 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm pretty much there with you too. I'm giving Mudbound an 8 out of 10. I actually had started like a quarter of this way long ago. Let's go. When I first moved into my first apartment in school.
Yeah.
In Houston. And I never got to finish it. And my dad actually was watching with me, and he was liking it. We just had to never get this stuff. It. They were doing stuff, and we never finished it. So I'm glad that I finally finished it.
It's been one of those films that I've seen on Netflix that I've been wanting to watch for so long, just because the look of it. And I'm glad we finally got to it.
Yeah, me too. And of course, if you want to see the actual conclusion to Women Directors Month, go ahead and stick with us on Thursday on the Patreon at the $2 tier and above. For $2 a month, you get an exclusive monthly review. And this monthly review to conclude this month will be Portrait of a Lady on Fire from director Celine Sciamma. And that film is available on Hulu for anybody who wants to watch it as well. So, you know, go over there to our Patreon, patreon.com/nerdcore, to go ahead and help us out there. But as always, I want to thank everybody who is in the chat with us, who is talking to us, Aiden, Kylie, and Stacy. Thank you so much for sticking around while we were reviewing this film. And as always, we want to thank our Patreon supporters, because our Patreon supporters make all of this possible. They make everything on the feed possible. So I want to thank you all so much for being the wonderful people that you are. And of course, we want to thank our executive producer, Shane. Where can they find him?
You can find our friend Shane at twitch.tv/XSRK or on Twitter at @XSRK_. And don't mind the two hooligans in the back.
And as always, we want to thank our writers as well, our wonderful Tony.
Hey, Tony.
At Real Nerdy Dan on Twitter. Tony, I have no idea what you're going to pick, and I am so scared to what's it called, find out. But you have been supporting us, and we thank you all so much. Thank you so much for that. And of course, our wonderful Kylie. Kylie, come make sure you check out our commentary tomorrow, live at 8:30 p.m. For Moonfall, as we do our next film that Kylie wants us to do. And of course, you can follow Kylie at KyliePLI on Twitter and at KyliePSports90 on Instagram. And of course, thank you all so much. We will see you all tomorrow for our Moonfall commentary. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be on Patreon for some wonderful stuff there. And then you'll have to wait until Friday to see our faces on the public sphere as we talk about Moon Knight Episode 5. But in the meantime, it's been a lot of fun. Brad, send him out.
Brad Rowland, thank you for being host as always. Thank you to all those who joined us in chat today. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And in this episode, I'm just going to get on a campaign to get Garrett Hedlund as the next Doc Holliday in a Tombstone remake. That's all I got. Young Yoda out.
Damn those dogs.